Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokesman.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, part-time Hawaii traveler and wedding invitee.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And welcome to Movies 101, that show that works on its relationship every week. And we tend to emerge, mostly, as a unified team, thanks largely to the efforts of our superb producer and resident life coach, Cassia Fox. Cassia will guide our trek through two movies this week, both studies of relationships that undergo a number of challenges, most of them coming in narratives that tend to go in unexpected directions. The first is Caught Stealing, a change of pace for director Darren Aronofsky that stars Austin Butler as a guy who, unwittingly, finds himself pursued both by past trauma and present tribulations, the latter in the form of murderous criminals. Next up is Splitsville, a study of misconnections and rampant chaos and how both affect a pair of marriages. Let's begin, then, with a story that has, at its source, a handful of baseball references. The first reference is the title Caught Stealing, which carries a double meaning. One involves baseball, which is when a player is thrown out trying to steal a base, although the very first scene in this film shows a successful said steal of home plate, no less. The other is what happens to Hank, played by Austin Butler, a former baseball phenom who now, the film is set in 1998, has been reduced to serving drinks in a Lower East Side bar in the New York City borough of Manhattan. Plagued by dreams of the incident that changed his life, Hank is comforted only by daily phone calls to his mom and by the woman in his life, played by Zoe Kravitz. When he agrees reluctantly to watch the cat of his neighbor, played by a Mohawk-tressed Matt Smith, he finds himself caught up in a real-life nightmare, beat up, suffering loss after loss, and on the run for his life. Directed by Darren Aronofsky and based on a screenplay that Charlie Houston adapted from his own novel, Caught Stealing is a change of pace for Aronofsky, who is known for such films as Pi, Requiem for a Dream, Black Swan, and Mother, among others. Aronofsky brings serious intent to a story that, in another director's hands, might have been played for mere laughs. By using the talents of a skilled cast from Kravitz and Regina King to Smith, Bad Bunny, Liev Schreiber, and Vincent D'Onofrio, not to mention an engaging cat actor named Tonic, Aronofsky makes Houston's story, which offers one surprise after the next, into something both intense and genre-busting. And Butler, who has seemed mannered in past performances, 2023's The Bike Riders in particular, shows a range that indicates he might be more than just another pretty Hollywood face.
I would argue that the title Caught Stealing has even a third meaning. Well, maybe not a meaning, but a little kind of tip of the hat to the Jane's Addiction song, Been Caught Stealing. And I think that's fitting for a movie that's filled with hard rock and punk music, including a bunch of original songs by the band Idols. I liked that element of the film.
Who are mentioned. They say, hey, yeah. It's the Idols. Don't turn it off.
Despite it being anachronistic, because this is the late 90s and they started, you know, like 10 years ago or 15 years ago, but no matter. It's interesting that you bring up the serious intent that Aronofsky has here, because while I did like this movie, it was the serious stuff in the movie that didn't really work for me. And I am assuming you're referring to the trauma that we see in his past and also what happens to a couple of the characters, namely the Zoe Kravitz character.
Yeah.
And I don't think they really knew what to do with that character, and it was kind of unfortunate. But no matter, my biggest problem with Caught Stealing is that despite all the mayhem that's going on, I never felt like it really generated any genuine tension. Like, it's fast-paced, it zips around, it's got all of these violent scenarios and bad guys, but I never...
Double crosses.
Triple crosses.
Yeah.
But I never felt that, like, hit in the stomach dread that I think Darren Aronofsky has been a master at conjuring in the past, especially in movies like Black Swan or Mother, or Requiem for a Dream.
Yes, of course.
Those movies feel like they're almost out of control and that you're not safe from them. I also think this movie, Caught Stealing, owes a debt to this little subgenre of movies that I happen to love, which is the breakneck New York City chase movie. Mm-hmm. And when you compare it to, say, Walter Hill's The Warriors or the Safdie's Uncut Gems or Martin Scorsese's After Hours, And that movie's star, Griffin Dunne, shows up in Caught Stealing as well. I don't think it has a fraction of the intensity that those movies do. However, I think if you just look at this movie as like a violent slapstick cartoon, it's almost Tex Avery at points. I think it delivers pretty well. I mean, it has one scene after another where this hero of ours is staring down a bad guy, and yet somehow he manages to make it out alive because the bad guy is just slightly more inept than he is. I mean, this happens time and again where he's left standing amongst just a bunch of dead bodies, and it is absurd and it's brutal, but it's sort of darkly funny at the same time. So I still had a good time at this movie, even though I do expect a little bit more from Darren Aronofsky when he's in this gritty, violent thriller mode. But I still think Caught Stealing mostly worked for me. And I think a lot of it has to do with the style and with the milieu of this pre-9/11 New York, which I thought he captured really well.
That's what I would like to say specifically about Caught Stealing, because it was a strange time in New York. I mean, I lived there in the late 1980s, but this is a strange sort of transitional time in New York. Like you said, pre-9/11, Rudy Giuliani is just coming, you know, on the scene. The city needs to clean itself up.
Yeah, there's trash all over the streets.
Yeah, Alphabet City at that time was definitely not yet gentrified. And so he did a good job of capturing those sort of dive bars and the whole like sort of eerie, murky atmosphere that was taking place at the time.
But it's alive at the same time. There's an electricity to it.
Mm. Of course. Yeah. And that's
it is New York. Yeah.
Right. My basic problem, and I think you identified it in terms of Caught Stealing, the tension didn't quite ramp up. And I think that that may have been due in part to we had all these different bad guys that were sort of competing with one another. And as a result, we never knew exactly, you know, who was on first. Ha ha. And I thought that was one of the problems with the film, because we weren't sure if any of these bad guys were sort of playing it for laughs. Because if you think of Liev Schreiber and Vincent D'Onofrio being these, the Hebrews, as they referred to them, and then at one point they go to their home and we meet Bubba, played by Carol Kane, who's trying to force feed the Austin Butler character. And so there's these humorous things that were sort of woven in between the violence. And so I don't think it ultimately gelled in the way that would have been ideal.
You know, I think part of the problem that both of you are having, but you in particular, Nathan, is the script. I mean, Charlie Houston, I first came to know him when I read a little novel years ago called The Mystic Art of Erasing All Signs of Death. And it's about a guy who is a cleaner, you know, who goes up after death scenes and cleans apartments and stuff. And so he's got this way of weaving really serious stuff along with humor. And so, I mean, it's in the script. And I have to admit on air what I was talking to you both before. I had forgotten this movie was directed by Aronofsky until when it's over and the credits come up and I went, oh my God, this was Aronofsky, the same guy who did Requiem for a Dream and Mother of all movies. I just thought, why would this guy do this movie? It just didn't seem to be his oeuvre, you know, so to speak.
I don't know if I quite agree with that, because I do think if you go back to his early stuff, I mean,
before Pi?
I think Pi in particular, I mean, that's a movie about the grit of New York. It also goes into this kind of like Hasidic underground world that he's also sort of exploring here. There's a lot of The Wrestler in this movie too. I think that's sort of, you know, kind of fly on the wall, sort of we're following this guy along. But, you know, he's good at ratcheting up the tension. He's good at setting up a bunch of things that don't seem like they're going to fit together and making them fit together. My problem with Caught Stealing is that I don't think the tension ever ratchets up in the way that he's intending.
Let's talk a little bit about the performances, because of course the Oscar should go to Tonic.
The cat.
I know. Yes. Now, Tonic is an sort of ironic performer, because you would think that the Matthew Smith character would have this scruffy cat, but he's actually beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so that's ironic. But this cat is amazing. So that's number one. Also, Matthew Smith, I mean, I laughed every time he showed up on the screen, because, you know, we're used to seeing him in all these British films and
he's
playing
a former Doctor Who. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And then all of a sudden he's playing very much against type.
I also like that he has this like foot high mohawk and he has to have the sunroof in his car open so that his mohawk can stick out of it. Yeah, I really liked this cast. I was describing it as like a melting pot of hitmen because they're from all over. They're from all these different boroughs and all these
different... Bad Bunny isn't particularly good.
And you know, I didn't give Bad Bunny the greatest review in Happy Gilmore 2. I thought he was really good here and quite funny because he is indicative of all of the bad guys in this movie, which is his bark is worse than his bite. Let's say that.
But do you guys agree with me about Austin Butler?
Yeah, he's really good.
I thought he was good.
I've liked him all the way along, going back to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I thought that he was, you know, that was a star turn in that film. And I know you've been less impressed, so I'm glad that you're coming around because it is hard when you're sort of that good looking to be able to be taken seriously as an actor.
Really? Is that a problem you've had in your life, Mary Pat?
Since I'm not an actor, no, but...
Any rate, enough of that. That was our discussion of Caught Stealing. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to talk about Splitsville. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
Subscribe to your favorite public radio programs when you become a Spokane Public Radio sustainer, just like any news or entertainment service you use. But unlike those other services, you decide how much you want to pay. Set up an electronic funds transfer, and monthly installments will be withdrawn automatically from your account. Plus, you can start or stop your subscription anytime you want. As a sustainer, you help make your public radio station strong. You support your favorite programs, and you never have to wonder when to renew. You're part of the community that sustains public radio. Call 509-328-5729 during business hours or go online to SpokanePublicRadio.org. Click the red donate button and start the process. Working together, we make our community a better place to work, play, and listen.
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discussed the Darren Aronofsky film Caught Stealing. Let's now shift to another more obvious study of relationships titled Splitsville. Directed by Michael Angelo Covino and co-written by Covino and his writing partner Kyle Marvin, Splitsville follows the story of two couples, Carrie and Ashley, played respectively by co-screenwriter Marvin and Adria Arjona, and Julie and Paul, played respectively by Dakota Johnson and director Covino. Barely 5 minutes into the movie, Ashley breaks up a joyous moment to tell Carrie that she wants a divorce. Carrie then ends up, after a hilarious cross-country trek, at the house of his best friend Paul and Paul's wife Julie. But while dealing with his emotional trauma, Carrie discovers that there's something different about Paul and Julie's apparently happy marriage. It's an open arrangement, sexually that is, and thus begins a series of events that affect all involved, not just the two couples, but also a virtual troop of others who come and go. Splitsville has a number of funny sequences, and Johnson's typical low-key, mostly monotone line delivery feels, for once, perfect here. But the film's overall point, assuming that Covino and Marvin have one, gets lost in an ending that feels both forced and, to be honest, much too tame to follow the level of madcap energy that has come before.
Well, Dan, once again, you've given an excellent capsule review, so now we're going to have to try to add on to that. And I would like to begin by saying there's been this plethora of these sort of dark rom-coms lately. So we have already talked about on this show, Sorry Baby, Oh Hi. There's another film out, The Roses, which fortunately we have opted not to review because it's, I guess, a sort of remake of The War of the Roses from the 1990 or so that starred Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas. And so I don't know what all of these shows are trying to say about marriage and relationships and so forth. But this one, Splitsville, just didn't really make sense to me. I'm not sure what was its purpose? I know that the Michelangelo Covino and Kyle Martin,
Marvin,
excuse me, who are the male protagonists in this show, are friends in real life. So I hope they had a great time at this lovely beach house where at least part of the action takes place. As you pointed out, Dakota Johnson, you know, this was the perfect role for her in many respects because it didn't require her to do a whole lot. Although
and the camera
I still
loves,
like her better than you do. Her. But it's obviously making a commentary on relationships and marriages in particular and what happens when they start to falter. Although it's intriguing that two of the characters, so Carrie and his wife, have not been married for very long. So you wonder, hey, you know, this might have been more realistic in Splitsville if they had had a longer term marriage. Because here it's sort of like, well, if you want to break up, just break up. You know, you don't have a long term marriage, you don't have any kids, so why not just go for it? So for me, this film, Splitsville, just didn't work, although some of the acting performances were notable. But yeah, I don't get it. So maybe you guys can fill me in on your thoughts.
Well, Covino and Marvin, who, as you mentioned, wrote this movie together, star in it together, they made an earlier feature called The Climb, which was extended from a short that they had made and was also about male friendship and infidelity. And I didn't like that one much. That was like a pandemic era release, so forgive me for not quite remembering why I didn't like it very much. It got good reviews, but it didn't click with me. This now, their sophomore feature, Splitsville, I think feels a lot more confident. It has this really bold visual style. I think it has a really clear comic point of view. And I think it ultimately does have something to say about why some relationships work, why others don't, and why pretty much every configuration of relationship, even friendship, is sort of absurd and strange if you think about it. And I thought of this movie almost as like a spiritual cousin to Friendship, the Tim Robinson, Paul Rudd comedy.
Because of the male, because of the male friendship relationship, or this,
yes.
There's always this sort of homoerotic subtext going on when these guys are fighting forth, wrestling.
I think both of these movies are about sort of just the inherent absurdities of courting someone, whether you want to be friends with them or something more. And also they're movies about just like the stupidity of men in so many scenarios. And I think this movie is rarely as bizarre as Friendship was, but it's sometimes just as dark and I think often almost as funny as Friendship was. So I like this a lot more. I get why this would obviously be an acquired taste, but I laughed a lot at this. I couldn't
mainly
believe
you know
where
that
it was going. You
mainly
know?
You know that because we didn't like Friendship either. So
I thought you did like Friendship.
Yeah, I was surprised by Friendship. Okay. I like Friendship better than this, I have to say, honestly.
You know, I'll tell you, I really did like one scene, and that is there's this extended fight scene, and not only are these guys proved to be acrobatic, it is just hilarious
and
it keeps going on.
And
it is wonderfully staged.
They destroy this house in this mano a mano fight.
And then afterwards, there's this scene with Dakota Johnson in which she's going, "Are you crazy? What is wrong with you two?" I did like that. I'm not saying that I didn't like all of it. Ultimately, I just didn't get it. But there were parts of Splitsville that I did like very much.
There are some other comic set pieces in this movie that also I thought were really funny because they start with a recognizably realistic scenario and then they build and they build until they just absolutely barrel out of control. So there's a
right
moment
at about the 50-minute mark.
There's a moment where Carrie follows the Dakota Johnson character to an amusement park. And she starts up this flirtation with a single dad that's there. And of course, Carrie becomes, you know, he's like puffing out his chest and he decides that this is going to be a competition between the two of them. But he ends up being responsible for a hilarious number of goldfish in plastic bags, like the kind that you win at where you throw the ping pong balls into the goldfish bowls.
That the new acquaintance has won.
Yes, yes. And what happens, a lot of fish are hard in this movie, but I thought that was funny. And it all culminates at the kid's birthday party, which also involves a medium played by Nicholas Braun from Succession. And it feels like something out of a classic screwball comedy because all of these different plot lines are converging at this children's birthday party, but it's just a lot more violent and R-rated.
Well, and we haven't mentioned the fact that Carrie's estranged wife, who is played by the actress Adria Arjona. She is the one who requests the divorce. So she connects with all these different guys, hooks up with them, but they all end up coming home and living in the house.
Right, because they're all like in their early 20s.
Yeah. Right. And so that was actually a funny part of it.
And that's what happens right about at the 50-minute mark, because up till then, it seems to follow this the standard kind of movie. And then all of a sudden, it seems to go off the rails, but off the rails in a way that's interesting with these guys coming
in
and coming out.
If it is about male friendship, that's another aspect of male friendship where these sort of hangdog type characters connect with one another and support one another in this odd circumstance in Splitsville.
Yeah, and there were times when I was thinking of the Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly movie Step Brothers. It's like an art house version of that. And in fact, Kyle Marvin, the co-screenwriter and actor here, there were times where I thought, does he look more like John C. Reilly or Will Ferrell? And it's like he's right down the middle.
Well, and I went back and forth between trying to figure out, because in some incarnations he looks handsome, and in others he really looks like, you know, Joe, like suburban dad, Chad, whatever.
You know, this is just another instance in which the more we talk about this movie, the more I'm remembering back that I liked it better.
Ultimately,
because when the movie was over, I went, what was that about? And I still have that question. I'm not sure I buy your argument, Nathan, but I find that I'm remembering it more fondly than when I was suffering through it.
I think ultimately, I mean, it is a movie about relationships, obviously, and it's about how relationships are built on expectations. And the healthiest relationships tend to be the ones where each person has the same expectations of the other.
There we go.
And in this particular movie, it shows that you can dictate rules, but if the other person has a different expectations of those rules, then, you know, you may as well not have any rules
and
at all.
And that's why I think Oh Hi worked better for me, because that was a classic example of people who had different expectations in their relationship. But, and maybe this is a lesson for you and me, Dan, that sometimes when we decide we're not going to talk about this movie at all and wait for the show, and then other times we talk about it, you know, in closer proximity to when we saw it. So maybe we just need to, you know, not do that, because we might have influenced each other into thinking that Splitsville was not as good as Nathan thought it was.
No, I stand my ground. It's not a very good movie.
No, I think it's a very good movie. And also, it's very funny.
It is somewhat funny.
It's sometimes funny.
It's a reasonably good movie.
Okay.
Anyway, that was our discussion of the movie Splitsville. This is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster, and early in the show, Nathan Weinbender, Mary Petruthart, and I discussed Darren Aronofsky's Caught Stealing. Let's take this moment to thank Cassia Fox for both producing and engineering the show. And we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out all the best that cinema has to offer wherever we can find it. Till then, consider these words from the famed psychoanalyst Carl Jung. The meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there is any reaction, both are transformed. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.